order, the Madison Plains Board of Education meeting. Would you take roll, please?
Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. Dodds?
Here.
Mr. Butts?
Here.
Mr. Hunter?
Here.
Mr. Morlock?
Present.
Mr. Detweiler and I are also present.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
She didn't give you a chance, did she?
Well, I was just waiting for everybody to get situated.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
He's the king, right?
Okay, we will open the floor for public speaking. We have one speaker. Can you state your name and your address for the record, please?
My name is Tiffany Kennedy Chapin. My address is 12840 North High Street, South Solon, Ohio, 43153. The reason I'm here is because I'm extremely disappointed in Madison Plains right now. I have an 8-year-old who is in third grade, and I thought about so many different things that I wanted to say right now, but the main reason I'm here is because I'm going to log a written complaint with the school board regarding bus driver number 26. Mr. Detweiler and I have already spoken about the situation. I don't know if any of y'all know or not, but I had taken a video of the bus driver doing several things that were incorrect. Stopping at a railroad with her top lights on and not her four ways. Pulling over on the side of the road in a ditch during on a no passing zone, so no vehicles behind her could come. And then one of the most crucial things that I witnessed and recorded was her letting a child off the bus with no lights whatsoever to stop traffic. We stopped in the middle of the road. There was no indication at all that there was a child getting off the bus. There was no stop sign, there was no flashing lights, there was nothing. A couple minutes later, a little boy who appears to be between the ages of 6 and 7 crosses both lanes of 41 and goes to his house. This concerns me because in the video you can also see, and I timed it, 13 seconds later, a semi goes flying past. But the bus driver didn't have any lights on or anything. Now, I was told that an investigation would be done on this, and I'm really disappointed on how the investigation took place because I wasn't even contacted any further, even though Mr. Detweiler had my contact information, because there was other things besides the video that I wanted to discuss with him. I had briefed him a little bit on it during our brief phone call, but then I didn't receive any more communication from him. This bus driver, she was caught running a stop sign, not turning her lights on at numerous stops. The kids first complained to her, and it was first brought to my attention that there was a problem with the bus driver when she yelled at them, told them to shut up, or she would rip their heads off. Now, my son said that the principal, after the tapes were reviewed and nothing was found to be said like that, the principal and the supervisor for the transportation department reprimanded the school bus because my 8-year-old son came home and wanted to know what expelled meant. I'm extremely upset. I am not going to go into all the details because I know your time is limited. I do have a written complaint. If I could please give all of you a copy of it. But again, I'm extremely disappointed when my son tells me he doesn't want to go to the school anymore, that we've got a problem. And I think because of her age, her training, every 6 years she has to certify. A lot can happen to a person when, you know, just in a year. I'm 43 years old and I know my health changes. When you've got an 87-year-old bus driver committing these infractions, not once, not twice, but numerous times, witnessed by numerous parents, then you've got a serious problem. So I'm just hoping that the next video I shoot isn't showing a child actually getting hurt before somebody takes action. So, can I pass these out? Thank you.
No additional speakers, so we will move to board work session.
Madam President, I have a number of things, if I can. Well, the first thing I want to mention is the deadline for the Central Region for OSBA Fall Conference is right around the corner. If you want to go, let Tim know. I strongly encourage more people to go than myself. This year's speaker is going to be Dr. James Mahoney. He's the executive director for Mattel for Kids. He's a replacement guy that we had because of problems that we had with our original speaker, but he's going to be an excellent speaker. I don't know how many people know Mattel for Kids, but they're doing a whole bunch of stuff for schools all across the state. So I think we're really lucky to get them. The fall conference is going to be on Wednesday, September 30th. Same bat time, same bat channel. Villa Nueva has been gracious enough to take us for a number of years. We get some pretty good discounts going there all the time. So I'm looking forward to going there again. I think most everybody's been there at least once before. 5:30 is the meet and greet, and 5 is meet and greet. 6, I think, is when they're going to start the dinner. So be prepared and come to have a good time. Last spring, I was with the London board, and I think there was one or two other board members from another district, so it was an enjoyable evening. Ohio School Board Association is having their capital conference coming up, and I think a lot of you have already received at least something regarding that. That is going to be the Sunday through Wednesday, the 8th to the 11th of November. Always a lot of sessions that you can go to learn more. I know we usually have a lot of the administrative staff go on Monday is pretty much when they have a lot of the administrative sessions that they can learn a little bit more about some of the new things that's coming. Once again, the state school board is having their November meeting at the conference. It's an open meeting. I know last year when I went, they had like 2 or 3 hours of the regular meeting, and then the rest of it was executive session. But if you were interested to see what happens with the state school board at their meetings, that was interesting, and I encourage you guys to check that out too. There's one other thing going on. I don't know how many of you have read your Central News. It's a new newsletter that Kim, the Central Region manager, is doing. Has stuff about the fall conference on it. But on the last page, I thought it was something really interesting for either Mike or Dave. I know I'm not much of a sports guy, but I know you guys are. They have an Ohio High School Athletic Association School Board Liaison Committee. I know that's a lot of words there, but it gives Madison Plains another opportunity to get involved with another committee for the state. I think you two can have a lot of input on that. You've followed the sports really well and been through the sports. If you want to, you can contact Kim Miller-Smith. Her email can be found on the OSBA website for the Central Region, or you can stop and see her at the fall conference later on this month. It is going to be a meeting, it says in a recent meeting with Executive Director Richard Lewis and Dr. Daniel Ross, the commissioner for the high school, OHSAA, agreed that there can be a mutual benefit with establishing something with school boards. And this is going to be that liaison committee to kind of help that communication. So I just wanted to encourage somebody from Madison Plains to get involved with that. Keep our name in and around the state. It's always a good thing for our PR, I think. Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you.
Madam President, I'd just like to bring up one thing I'd like to see. I know we've requested this a couple different times, and I'm not seeing anything improving yet. I know there's a few small items, but the webpage, we really need to improve that. Everybody you keep talking to is the same thing from the public, that we're not getting good communications out there. I know there's a lot of people like to just go on there and see what's going on out here at the school. One of the things that's upsetting to a lot of people is the photo gallery hasn't been updated for a long time.
It does have some older photos in it, but it has new ones in there as well. And we also currently have someone assigned once a month. They're going through the entire website to make sure the data material is taken off of there and pass that out to the administration. So we do have controls in place now.
Okay, well, I checked that 2 days ago. We still have many pictures from 2013, 2014, and nothing for this year. Except what's on the very beginning where it flashes through the picture. Right. That's all it's on it.
Well, the gallery's not in there, but they're putting in the rotation at the beginning, the new pictures. That's what you're talking about?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm talking about the gallery, too. The gallery's just not updated. There's a lot of things. The blog hasn't been updated for a while. Last thing we talked about on the blog was the traffic situation.
Right. The only reason you're, the only time you're going to see something new on there is if we have an issue that we want to get direct feedback from the community on. Then I put that question out there, and that generates the conversation. So if we have issues that we want to get feedback through the blog, that's, it's not something I'm going to put something out there every single day. So if that's what you're looking for,
well, no, but I think now that the school year started, there's a lot of things we could ask them about.
Right, and I'm open to that. So if you have something you want me to put out there on that blog, I'm happy to do it.
Okay.
I just don't want to throw things out there just to, you know, put something
on. But stuff
on.
Like that, I think, right, needs to be updated.
I agree. The other piece that's coming your way is we are going to have a Facebook presence. We're working with Michelle and Joe Penny, who couldn't be here this evening. But that's ready to go. We just have to turn it on. But we have to make sure we have in place somebody who's going to monitor it and make sure that there's somebody that monitors the content. But that's getting ready to be turned on. So
I think the last thing I want to bring up about that is if we could get the agendas out earlier than Monday, I'd appreiate it. If we could get those after you solidify that on Friday, get those sent out so we got the weekend to look at them, I'd appreciate it.
Well, we were told we'd get them on Friday, and for a while we were, but the past couple of weeks, I had
last
to call Kelly.
Last 2 times, correct. There's no excuse. It'll be there on Friday.
I think, Dave, what you're talking about, too, is when you go to the, like, the high school, the junior high, the intermediate, those pictures are
no,
the
when you hit the very first page, and underneath the, oh, the is ones that are painted by, it says, photo gallery. And when you hit that, a lot of people hit that, they keep telling me, how's come none of those have been up there? Those are all old pictures.
Well,
I understand that. Then you got to go searching elsewhere to find certain pictures, and there's just not enough in there, in my opinion. We could be doing a lot better.
It's a matter of getting content into it. Correct.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else?
I do. I need the board to consider a special meeting October 13th or thereabouts to go over 5-year forecast, 10-year financial plan, and the grading policy that we'll be talking about just a little bit. So as part of your work session, I'm asking you to take a look at that.
And what, when was that again?
October 13th is the Tuesday prior to the regular meeting. If you have another day that you prefer, we just need to have it along that week. One thing that Mrs. Cooley pointed out was the Scholastic dinner.
The dinner at the Mount Sterling Methodist Church is that night.
It's from 4 to 7.
4 to 7, so if we didn't meet till 7.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with doing it that night because yeah. Morgan usually works that and brings mine home to me, so.
Oh, everybody's home that night. Okay, just kidding. So, okay, you guys good 13?
I'm good for the 13th.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Okay,
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock?
That works. In here? Or over there?
Where do you want us to meet?
Let's just have it in here.
Okay.
We can do everything in here that we were there. So. Another thing is, I had a gentleman call. His name was Tim Bays. Wants the board to consider allowing, he has a problem with our drug testing policy. He wants the board to consider at least having the board policy committee look at that policy and allowing parents to exempt their students from drug testing for certain reasons. I told him that we discussed that multiple years ago when we actually put it in place, and the board decided at that point they didn't want to go that route. if you're going to be an extracurricular or any activity, you're going to be tested. He just asked that the board consider it. So I'm putting that out there to ask if the board wants board policy to review to look at that again, or do you want it to stay as it is?
I'd like to see it stay as it is.
I don't see any reason. Did he wouldn't give us any reason why?
He disagrees that every student that's in an activity should be tested. He doesn't think that it's helping the district at all. In fact, it makes us look worse, he thinks, that we're testing every child. It was just his opinion, and I certainly relay that on to the board.
Well, my feeling is every student should be tested, so I'm not going to go down that route.
So we get too far. 7 o'clock, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So we don't have any desire for the board policy review committee to look at
it. We just approved that.
Yeah.
Literally, what, 9 months ago?
Yeah, I'm not in favor of that.
Yeah, no.
Okay, all right. So that's all I have for your work session.
Tim, if I can ask, you said the grading system and what other things were we going to cover in that meeting?
5-year forecast and 10-year financial plan. As you know, historically, whenever you talk about the 10-year financial plan, it takes a lot longer. Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Okay, hearing none, we will move on to D, approval for minutes.
Madam President, I move that the minutes of the August 18th meeting be approved as written.
I'll second that.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Moorlach?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. There was one minor adjustment I had to make that we received our homestead rollback that we normally get. We got last year in September. We received that in August. And looking historically, that is the more accurate time that we receive it. And when I was basing it on last year, I had that in August, so I had adjusted that. And so there is a change there. It's line 1.050 for the property tax allocation. And it shows a variance of $471,000. So that's why I wanted to point that out, because it is such a large amount. The only reason being is that I didn't have it budgeted for August. I had it budgeted for September. So I had made the adjustment. Let's see if I have it here. That 471 right there. So it shows a variance. All I did is take it out of September then to compensate. So that's the only thing I have really of note in the spending plan. So if I could, I'd like to go ahead and get right to the appropriation, but we probably better go ahead and approve financial reports first. Okay. I can go ahead and talk about those if you like. The permanent appropriations that I have for you to approve, and again, like Dave was saying about the agendas, I apologize also for the appropriations. I had a goal of getting those to you a lot sooner. Things don't always fall in place, but working really hard on that, and I think I've got it where it needs to be, which is what's important. So the appropriations that I have before you are about $300,000 more than the prior year actuals. So that's only about 2.25% increase over the actual from last year, and it's a little bit more than what we had in the forecast in May. What was missing from that, we had some increases in purchase service and some increases in supplies. And I think you might want to mention something about the supplies. Maybe.
Yeah, if you recall, I pointed out that the science adoption this year was very expensive, and we invested in it. And that's a large part of that.
Right.
A lot of supplies throughout the district, we increased where we needed some things, and it was offset by a lot of it's offset by your savings through your salaries.
Yeah, we had about a $200,000 savings through attrition and salaries. Salaries should have went up about $400,000 from the prior year, and they only went up, I think, about $200,000 or so.
Yeah.
I mean, not very much. And then they were also offset. Salaries were reduced quite a bit because we transitioned our speech and psychologist services from salaries to purchase service. So that's why purchase service went up.
about $180,000, and salaries went down about $180,000. So the overall net increase to salaries was only about $44,000 from last year to this year, which is really good. Purchase service went up, supplies went up, capital improvements stayed about the same.
Benefits
went up slightly because they follow salaries. You know, salaries, the STIRS and SERS, the retirement plans and Medicare follow the salaries because that's a percentage of that. So the salaries go up, those go up. But overall, I think we're doing really well. We came really close to our estimates in the forecast, and it's not a large increase over the prior year. We will refine those slightly, probably when we do our five-year forecast for the next meeting. And so we'll be able to go into more of an in-depth discussion then. But right now, we just need to get them approved.
Still in deficit spending, is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, we are.
To have any increases, just going to make that a little tougher to get out of.
That's correct.
If we hadn't had our savings to attrition, we'd be...
We'd be at about $2 million probably deficit spending right now, I think. And we always come in under our appropriations, it seems. You know, so based off the actuals, we're about a little over $1 million in deficit spending, but last year we came in at about $600,000, I think, or so is what we ended up with, $600,000 to $800,000deficit in our spending. And that's not our... That doesn't mean we have a negative cash balance. You know, that just means that we're spending more than what we have coming in. So it's chipping away at our cash balance slowly but surely every year. Why we keep talking about heading towards that wall and FY19, FY18, you know, depending on where we hit.
We're still in the car headed toward the fiscal cliff, doesn't matter how fast we're going.
Yeah. And we'll be able to talk about that more at the special board meeting when we go over the 10-year plan and 5-year forecast and see where we're at as far as that goes. That's all I have for my report. Thank you.
Any questions? Okay, we move to Section
F. Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the August 2015 financial statements be accepted as presented.
I'll second that.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Dotz?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of Treasurer, the Board approve the fiscal year 2016 permanent appropriation resolution as presented.
I'll second that.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dotz?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll move on to the Superintendent. Mr. Detwell, it's all yours.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mustin, if you could pull up the attachment with the grading. Appreciate it. Currently, we have a grading policy that has a board-approved grading scale that's percentage-based. We convert that at the end of the school year to a four-point scale. What we're advocating, and I say we, it's the administrators and myself, is that we add to that, that we propose a grading scale that you can see is a little different. An A currently is 100 to a 90, it's a 4-point. So there's nothing in between an A and a B. We're advocating that we go to a grading scale that gives you the opportunity as a student to work somewhere in between and get credit for it. So if you get that B, currently you get a 3-point. If you get an A minus in this scenario, you can see you're at a 3.66. So you have the ability to help your GPA. Several schools in the area use this. We think it would be beneficial. If you scroll down there, Todd, we've listed some of the pros there, allowing students to recover from an F more easily than under the current system. That was the number one factor that we saw for wanting to recommend this change. Allowing a student to see their current GPA with each report card instead of at the end of the year. It may aid a student to retain eligibility for extracurriculars. Again, if you're just a small percentage off from getting that 1.5, this can help you. Eligibility is based upon a 1.5, but we don't convert to a scale until the end of the year. This tells you in real time where you're going to be at. And by adding the plus or minus the scale, we allow students who have high percentage grades to benefit from that. If you think about it right now, if you have a high percentage, an A is an A, or B is a B. If you have a high percentage, you get a B plus or an A minus. So you can gain by having a high percentage, just more motivation to get a higher percentage grade. Right now it's, hey, I got an A, I got, you know, a 91, I'm good. The cons, it may hinder a student's ability to retain eligibility for extracurricular activities if you're on the lower end. So it goes both directions, but the benefits we feel outweigh the negative pieces to this. It's presented to you tonight for consideration, and that's why I say at our special meeting, I would like the board to consider approving that change. I'm open to comment. You can, the administration, the principals are here. They can answer questions as to why they feel it's positive. I think Mrs. Grigsby is here. There she is. She's also available. So if you have questions beyond what I can answer, certainly I know they can. So that's what we'll be looking at the 13th meeting. Do you have any questions at this point in time? And if you don't have any, that's fine. Ask between now and then. It'll be certainly readily available.
Well, you opened it up for discussion. I'd like to hear somebody tell me what they think of it from the... Karen, you're fine. Stand up. Tell me what you think.
Yep. You notice she jumped right up.
Okay, me. The biggest positive to this is it's going to allow students a second chance. Even though, and if you scroll down there, Todd, you see on the left-hand side where we attribute the 4-3-2-1, that does not happen until the end of the year. Mm-hmm. This system would allow it to happen throughout the year. So because a student's average grade is based on, right now is based on averaging up their percentages all year long, then coming up with the final grade. So for instance, if the first 9 weeks, I get a 25%, and then the second 9 weeks I get a 75%, that averages out to 50% and I still have an F. But under the right-hand column, if I have a 25% and a 75%, that's gonna be recorded as an F and a C, which will average out to a D, and I will no longer be failing the class. And that's the biggest thing is, you kind of have to think about it as if this column isn't here at all, because it really isn't until the very end of the grade of the school year.
Why is that? I mean, I was kind of concerned when there was another question that somebody had regarding that I read, and I was like, well, I don't understand why, you know, we know what the point values are for the grades. And
it's the progress book system.
But that's the grade for the quarter.
Right.
You know, can't that be part of that?
It can't. That's not the way the progress book system is set up. And I had a lengthy conversation with the people at Maveca who house that progress book system that we set up. We can either go percentage based all year long and average the percentages for a final grade, or each 9 weeks we can give an alpha mark, which is the A, B, C, D. Right now, when you open up progress book and you look at your child's grades at the end of the 9 weeks, you only ever see a percentage, right? Now, in your mind, you may attribute that to being an A or being a C, but it's not really anything until the end of the 9 weeks when they all get averaged together.
Well, let me ask you this.
Or end of the school year.
What's the difference? Okay. This is where my confusion lies. What's the difference between having the you know, A through F as uh-huh. opposed to the A through D plus or D minus.
Oh, okay, you know, so having just, if we were to say A, B, C, D, F, as opposed to A minus, B plus, B,
yeah.
Okay. So we can do either of those things through Progress Book. We're suggesting the pluses and minuses because it allows us as a district to stay closer to the percentage base, right? Because even though
it narrows the gap.
It narrows right? the gap, right? So let's say I have a 61%. That's going to be a D minus. It's not going to be as a D in there. So it's going to be worth a little bit less, but not nearly as less as that 25% F is going to do to your grade throughout the school year.
I think you're missing my question because it sounded like if we go to this new system that every quarter parents will have the GPA on the report card, and they'll know what the GPA is.
They will know for that 9 weeks what the GPA is.
Okay, so if they can do that with the proposed system,
mm-hmm.
I don't understand why they can't do it with the old system. It's just the number that you're calculating.
But they can't do it.
It doesn't work.
We don't
that.
Have this. That's what I'm sorry.
On the left.
This isn't really in the system, and neither is this.
Right.
The only thing in the system are percentages.
So if we go to the new system and we just have that percentage there, then the new outlook or is going to know
progress book.
Thank you. Is going to know that it's that percentage is a B plus. It's going to be this.
Yes, it'll be programmed to do that.
So do all the schools that are using the progress book from Aveca, are they all doing the proposed
this type of grading scale?
Yeah.
Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah.
What I've checked out with Aveca, with other area districts, and then another school district who actually did all this research by checking around all of Central Ohio about 2 years ago, is that this is by far and away the grading scale that's used when your district has opted for a 10-point scale. And the Board of Education several years ago opted to have a 10-point scale as opposed to like a 7-point scale, where it would be 93 to 100 as an A. So if you're sticking with a 10-point scale, which we have no intentions of getting away from a 10-point scale, this is how the breakdown would be for pluses and minuses.
I understand what you're saying on that, but on the one on the left, I don't agree with how you described that.
Okay.
Because Karen, I know where my kid's at most of the time, because I don't go with that. Having a kid that has issues with her grades at times and wants to advance her education, and I keep telling her, you're going to have to do a little bit better, we know where she's at all the time. Because I sit down and I figure it out.
Right.
When the grades are in there.
That's true.
Yeah, it's not put in there like that, but we know where she's at.
Right.
So it's not, the other thing on the other side is just going to help them out more. I understand that.
You're absolutely right.
But I want to know why, because I can remember a couple years back, this conversation came up about A pluses and A minuses, and I would like to hear from Stormy what you think about it, or Christina, because you guys were around back then when we were talking about it, and I don't want this to go into another one of those, like, no, I say this a lot, a flavor of the month thing, where we change it, and in 2 years, the other board will change it back. I want to know if this is the best way for us to go, and if that's what you guys think. I want to hear what your opinions are.
Don't be on the spot,
though.
We can
just spotlight
out.
Well, this is the first week. Right. I mean, this is the first we've seen this proposal, so I mean, I don't really have an opinion yet because I haven't really thought it through.
Okay.
I'm not saying I don't like it. I just don't know yet. I mean, I'd have to think it through a little more. The only
question is it okay to call them before the 13th and get some opinions? I just need to find out what. I want to make sure I got a better understanding of that. And Karen, I appreciate how you explained that. But this here again is something we're going to talk about on the 13th. And I want to make sure I know going in how people feel about this.
Here's why they haven't heard about it. If you're going to do this, we need to do it before this 9 weeks is up. That's why we have to wait a year. Right, but we have to wait a year. So that's why you're seeing it now for discussion. You can talk to anybody you want between now and the 13th. Then we have to decide on the 13th, one way or the other. So, again, we're trying to do things that we think are going to benefit our kids as quickly as we can. So, your questions are valid, but it's just a matter of timing.
Well, I agree with the one on the right. I believe it will be beneficial for us and our kids.
Yeah.
However, I don't want to go back and find out why we did the wrong thing.
Right.
But we still are doing 90 to 100 as an A.
It's still at 10 points.
Yeah.
Right.
But
if I get a 91, I don't get 4.0.
Exactly.
I get 3.66, and that's going to hurt my GPA.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Mr. Morlock, you're absolutely right about that. But that's what we're already doing anyway. A 91 would still be lower than a 95.
No, but 91 is you're going to get 4 points.
Right. You don't get those 4 points to the very end of the year. That's
getting.
Not
you're
happening.
Still getting.
You're
still getting. But can at the same time, if I got an 89
at the end of the year, but please remember that your lower grades are affecting that all along, and you may not get an A minus by the end of the year. You may have a B minus or a B because it is because of how the percentages average out, and we've had a lot of students hurt by that. That's the whole premise of why we're here talking about it.
Sure.
We've had a lot of students hurt by that, and we have students with the attitude that they might as well stop trying because they can't pass after a certain point anyway.
And I understand that. I just want to make sure that we have all the pros and cons before we go in,
yep.
Okay?
Any
Thank
more
you very much.
Mr. Fuller?
I see two things, and I agree with what Karen's saying. I think the kid that is on the bubble, that is at that 89, is going to push harder to get over the hump, to get that 90 or that 92, or go from 92 to 93. But I also see that we have the policy set at a 1.5 for eligibility. The kid who toes that line at the 60 no longer can get that 60 and be academically eligible. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that could be the impetus for the kid who walks that 60 line to buckle down and to
yep.
get, because now you're gonna have to pull some high D's and low C's if you're going to keep yourself eligible. And there's nothing wrong with that.
That's absolutely right. And it would help motivate some students to at least try a little harder, not to just skate by with 60%. The other thing to also notice, to know, is our system does not calculate a 9 weeks GPA. So when he brought up the eligibility issue, we're having to go through hoops to actually get a GPA every 9 weeks.
And for those
for
of you who
student.
Are out here that don't understand on the eligibilities, that eligibility also is affected in things like, say FFA. If they want to go do soil judging and they don't make grades, they don't get to get, they don't get to be on certain teams, they don't get to do certain things. It's going to be that way with French clubs, it's going to be that way with Spanish club. So it's just not, I hope people aren't just taking that in as extracurriculars, as athletics.
It's not.
Okay. Any more questions on that one?
That's not going to, I just have another comment. I mean, we're bringing it up now, and we want to get it approved at the special meeting on the 13th. Doesn't give us a lot of time to consider our options, number one, but which we can do our due diligence with that. But number two, it would be nice to get some feedback from some of the parents that are seeing this for the first time and saying, okay, well, I remember, 4 or 5 years ago, we had a system similar to this.
To be honest, amongst the administration, we thought this was a no-brainer because the benefits far outweighed the detriments. And that's why we said this is something we think we can do quickly to help our kids. The grading committee is working this year on things, like Alice has pointed out, weighting and things like that, that we need to discuss and see if they're appropriate. Those take a lot more input from parents, students, and staff. That's why this is one that we said, this is one we can do quickly. Everything else the grading committee is going to be working on this year is heavy lifting, and it's going to take a lot of time. So this is just the one piece we said, this is something we think we can do. That's why it's not going through that normal process, kids.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
I think that going back to what Dave was talking about earlier on the blog, this might be an excellent subject for the blog, so we get feedback from the community, and we get that up there.
I'd be happy to put some of my thoughts on there.
Alice will be
responding. The exams could be quickly solved.
Okay. Next up, you'll see tonight my request for the approval of a floating bus driver aide position. I met this afternoon with the local union president, Jennifer, I think she's here, and I met with the state OPC rep to discuss the position. We talked about numerous things, the job description, talked about the actual wage schedule that goes with it. The position will have a wage schedule that basically splits the difference between a full-time driver and the aide. 50-50. The reason being is right now we don't know if the majority of this person's time is going to be as an aide or as a sub driver. And once we go through, we set up dates that we're going to meet again to talk, okay, is it correct? So you will see the wage schedule put in front of you at the next meeting. It'll be basically a hybrid between those two salary schedules, but it may change in the future, and I'll just bring it back to you and say, here's why it's changing, because all their time is as a driver, so we need to put them closer to the full-time driver rate, okay? So we did agree to that. This position will be 3.5 hours a day. We're talking with Sam, that's what we felt was appropriate to make sure that they had the time to cover the afternoon routes or the morning routes, whatever we need. He gives us 3.5 hours of guaranteed work as a sub driver or as an aide, wherever we see fit for that day. So it's a position we need to lock in sub drivers is what we're doing it for. And I wanted to make sure they knew that if they weren't driving that day, they were going to be working as an aide sub. So you'll see that for approval this evening, and I'll answer any questions on that.
How many people are we looking at having for that position?
Is it one to start out with? That's hopefully that will take care of the issue. The primary issue we have is we've got to have somebody that can allow the drivers to opt off their regular route to transport our field trips. That's number one. Also, just sheer number of if drivers are out on a day, we got to have coverage. And right now, how many subs do we have, Sam?
Well,
okay to say zero.
That are available. We have one that's available right now, but we have one that will be coming back next week. He hasn't been able to drive for the school year so far.
So we're getting to that point where we actually have people available, but this will lock somebody in. We thought we had someone for the position. They're not going to be able to take the position. It will be posted tomorrow. I don't know if we'll have any internal candidates or not, but if you approve it tonight, we will post it and see what we have. Questions on that? You can just speak past that.
No, I hear it.
I can see. The boosters group meeting. We had an impact meeting in which we had a lot of live conversation about how we operate our boosters groups and monies available for them and things like that. And we deferred that to a meeting of the presidents and treasurers from each of the boosters groups. Everybody came in, they had their financials. We sat in this room and went through them, and we had Renee was here now, and Mr. Mason to talk about their roles as the directors for the marching for the band program, music program. I got to get my terminology correct, the music program, and the athletic program. It was one of the better meetings that since I've been in my role, I think we've had. Everybody was very candid, put out there their information. Everybody asked questions of one another. How much do you bring in for that? Why are you doing that? Why does your report say that? And it was just a well-received meeting, I think. I made commitments that I will follow up and make sure I get all the information from all the groups as far as different reports that we didn't have presented at that meeting, like bylaws and things like that. Then I'll have that information available, and I can provide that to the board so you can take a look at it. At the end of the night, we had a good long discussion on how we come together to benefit all the kids. It started as a conversation about money and how much are you spending per kid in this program and that program, but at the end of the night is how much are we all spending on all these programs because they're all our kids. And I think that's where we gravitated to the right spot. And now I've been getting emails now from the band president about, well, can we do this, can we do that, and with really good ideas and throwing them back and forth. And so the dialogue is open now. I think that's a big improvement for all of us. I think it was a good meeting. We've agreed that we will meet again next month. I've got to set a date for that meeting to follow up on some of the conversation we had. But to answer your questions in regards to how that went, I thought it went very well. So, any questions about the boosters group meeting? I know some of the folks are here. Tom's here, different people that got to spend 2.5 hours with all of us in this room again. So
yeah,
I appreciate everybody that did show up.
This is a beginning phase
for
what we're talking about. Are you planning on regular meetings with the booster groups? Or
we talked about
another meeting.
We'll meet next month. That meeting in particular is an annual meeting that my board policy required to have. And it was the first one that I've been a part of since I've been back at Madison Plains. So we've started with the board policy. We walked right down through it and what it said. And I basically said, these are my marching orders as what I'm doing for us on behalf of the Board of Education. We walk through everything, so everybody is on the same page to start out with. From facilities to fundraisers, everything. And everybody got a good understanding. And so moving forward, I think we'll have a meeting next month, and then we'll kind of see as needed how many times we need to meet during the course of the year. But I think based on that meeting, I think the folks that were there wouldn't mind meeting again on a regular basis.
I want to thank you guys for helping out. I mean, it was kind of a
the impact meeting we had prior to that was a little testy, but I'm glad everybody's come together, and I really appreciate it.
That's what impact is.
The board appreciates it.
Right.
Good meeting. Okay. Next up. Seed money for athletic program. And I want to start out by saying this was one of the things that was discussed at length at Impact as well. And I think when we talk about Impact meeting getting testy, and I joke about it, but that's the meeting where those things are supposed to happen. We're supposed to have a very candid discussion about everything from House Bill 7 to athletics, and we walk away saying, wow, we're having conversation. And that's what's supposed to happen at those meetings. If we don't have them in that meetings, they're happening outside of here, one-on-one. And so the people that can make change don't ever hear about it as a group. And so Impact is working. And I don't want people to walk away thinking, wow, all they do is get in heated discussions with Impact. Yeah, that's where you're supposed to do that. So Impact meetings are working. From there, the seed money for athletic program. It's no secret that athletic operations have operated in the red. You can't include donations and things like that as part of your operating budget. And Todd and I do not when we look at it. The board determined, was it 3 years or 4 years ago, that we would charge rent for the use of our land for whoever farmed it. Okay? That rent is $20,000 a year. Those rent proceeds can be allocated by the Board of Education, based on my recommendation, wherever you think it's best for that to go. Okay? So in other words, if this year you say, we want to go to athletics, but you know what, next year the band or whoever is in dire need, the money has to go there. In June of next year, and I say June because that's prior to the start of the fiscal year, so those folks can budget for it, we make a vote, all right, make a recommendation, you take a vote on that as to where those funds go each year. Currently, you haven't had that opportunity. It goes to the PI fund, and then we utilize that as part of our PI planning. I'm saying there's other needs that are more urgent than the PI fund, and this is one year when I think the athletic fund has more urgent need than the PI fund, okay? Again, I think it's critical to make sure you know the board is going to vote on it each year. This is not a blanket statement, this would be forever. It's this year and this year alone. And I am going to be tonight recommending that it goes to the athletic fund. The operating budget is in the red. Through the work of Mr. Mason, the athletic director, fortunately, the last 3 years, our operating budget being in the red has been covered by donations that he has solicited and has secured for the district. So that kept us in the black. So I think it's important to give kudos to Mr. Mason for making sure we are in the black. The next step is, if we don't do the donation process, we have alternatives that we can look at. Those are not good alternatives. You have general fund can cover any deficit, which is taking taxpayer dollars to cover an operating deficit in the athletic program. You can do pay to participate, in which the participants are paying to be out there. You can, one of the worst case scenarios is cut your programming. So when we talk about upsetting people, you're looking at this program costs this much, we need to get that program. I don't ever want us to get in that situation. The other thing we can do is allocate the rent proceeds to help the program that needs help in that particular year. Okay, we know that Ohio Heritage Conference, that the gate receipts there are better than what we've seen in MSL. We know that for a fact. We've seen the data. So moving over there, hopefully, we're this year looking at $20,000. Next year, we have to see where we're at. And then after that, gate receipts, which is the primary funding source for athletics at Madison Plains, are better, and it supports itself. And one other thing, I would like for us to consider that the donations that Mr. Mason or any of us solicit and secure for the district go for big projects, not for operating costs. The thing I correlated to this afternoon, Mary's not here, but if our cafeteria was operating in the red, would we tell Mary to go out and get donations to cover it? No. We would cover it, however we had to. The general fund would cover it, whatever we had to do. So I think we need to keep that in mind. At this point, I'm going to stop talking, and I'm going to turn it over to our financial guru to go over the athletic department, their budget, and how the monies are spent and what we bring in.
Thank you, Mr. Superintendent. Just a brief overview. Try to keep it fairly simple. I'd like to start with the budget for this year for athletics. This is where, this is the revised budget that Mr. Mason and Dr. Unger together came up with to help solve our problems that we have with funding the athletic program. You can see everything on here are what they deemed necessary operating costs, required expenses to operate the program, officials, entry fees. That's almost exclusively what these consist of. Some of the other ones would be equipment reconditioning that's mandatory so that we are in compliance. But the two, that totals up to $62,000.
This is his fund?
Yes, this is 300. Yes, this is just the 300 athletic. In contrast to that, the revenue budget for the 300 accounts, it's at $55,000. And you can see that's upside down. That's not the way it should be. What Mr. Detweiler alluded to earlier is we've been getting by on donations. That's what's made up that difference in the past. This is also with an increase in gate revenue that we're projecting based on ticket increases. So we're not where we need to be with athletics. While this is a better budget, the initial budget I got before they had to make those cuts, which I know was painful, was around $90,000. So we were upside down a lot more than that, and that budget had to be returned and say, look, we've got to try to work something out here. We've got to try and tighten our belts, so to speak. And it doesn't mean that those things go away. What it means is that Mr. Mason will have to plead his case essentially for those things above and beyond operating costs necessary to operate programs. So anything that he feels necessary that's not an entry fee or an official or required reconditioning, he's going to present to Mr. Detweiler and myself. And we may or may not be able to approve that depending on where his account stands at the time.
So the delta really is more than that we see, right? Because that's just operating.
This is your bare bones. Mm-hmm. This is what we have to have programs in Madison Plains, exclusive of a lot of things that we are used to having.
I think one thing that's important difference from last year to this year, the change in our organizational structure. Mr. Mason now works with Dr. Unger at the high school, and then they work on the budget, develop it, then it comes over to me. And that's a simple change from last year to this year, but I think it's important to note. So Dr. Unger is here, and if he wanted to talk to it a little bit, feel free. And Mr. Mason.
For example, that doesn't include balls. Okay, it costs around $1,200 for football season. That budget does not include that. It doesn't include the awards you give, your awards banquet. Those aren't necessary to operate, but I think we would consider them necessary for our kids. So it's definitely a bare bones budget.
So while you guys are discussing this, and I'm going to ask to put you and Matt on the spot, I want to know what you're doing to make extra money besides donations. It's what we've asked for quite a while now. So what are we doing? What's the plan?
Before we get to that, can I throw up one more graphic just to kind of
finish this out? Can we get a copy of that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's a good question, I think.
Yeah, what I want to throw up here too, like I said, I tried to keep this fairly simple. Wrong one.
That's the complicated.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah, can you not simplify it for us? Give us the detail.
I'll try. Yeah, I mean, it is fairly detailed. There's a lot, as well as I do, some of these financial reports I can present to you, they're lengthy.
Well, I just assume.
When I say simplified, I mean easily readable and something that's easy to look at, I guess, is a better way to put it, maybe. This is a graphic, just kind of give you an idea of what funds athletics and where the expenditures come from also. So you can see here the athletic expenditures. 52% of that is funded, comes out of the athletic account. And 35%. Yeah. That's,
yeah. You're right.
Right. And 35% come out of the general fund. 13% is funded by boosters. Okay. The receipts, none of the receipts come from the general fund. All of those receipts come from either the athletic department with gates primarily, or boosters through fundraisers and donations. Donations then come also through the athletic account. So that's kind of the makeup, I guess, of what funds athletics and where the receipts come from and where the expenses go. When it comes to boosters, general fund, which, you know, the board, and athletics, a 300 account. What else would you, I don't know if there's anything else you can.
Yes, the historical data, the boosters information, that talks to Dave's question. Do we have it? Was it $70,000?
Yeah, I guess I could hover over this. It's listed as a percentage. But that 35% consists of about $70,000 in expenditures and $70,000 in receipts that flow through the boosters.
That your question regards to what's being done for fundraisers. In the athletic program, you have each of the coaches and their sports are out there raising money for their program. And that money is deposited with the athletic boosters. That totals about $70,000 worth of fundraising being done for the sports. Okay. Then you have the athletic gate receipts that are ours coming in, that Mr. Mason manages that budget off of those revenues. So the question you're asking is, are we going to have fundraising by the athletic department on top of the fundraising being done by the coaches and their individual programs? Am I getting close to where you're going?
Sort of, kind of. And I understand what that is, but to go back to my question,
okay.
I want to know what Dr. Unger and what Matt have discussed on what they can do for fundraising. Not going through the boosters, what you can do on our side. I know in the past we've had volleyball tournaments that we've got money out of. We've had wrestling tournaments that we've got money out of. What are we working on trying to get that stuff done?
Well, that's a good question. These are what we've done in the last three, 4 months. A 5K, a craft show, a pick three lotto, a golf outing, an athlete night, a teacher night, and spring concessions. We started the Eagle Hut this month in a bingo. That's what we've done in the last 4 months to get us to where we were. I think it's $40,000+. Our gates are off, and that's you know, and that's nothing. Individual teams did, as you know, you have daughters, girls' teams. You're doing something every night. You know, it's something that I wish our gates were better, but this is something, you know, that budget that's up there, that it's on life support. To get by with that number.
That's why it's, in my opinion, critical we figure out ways of using these buildings.
Yeah.
Because that's where the bigger money comes in.
Correct.
Last time they did a little spikers thing, I think I was talking to Ruth, she said, you guys got $2,000 out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Are we working with the outside organizations that want to try to bring that in?
We are. You know, like I said, little spikers is at London this year. It rotates. You know, that's one of those things.
What about the wrestling? Are we going to have a wrestling tournament?
We lost it to the state. They consolidated to one site, but we get it back this year. So that just came up this week. So yeah, I mean we're not turning away anything.
The thing we don't want to do is the individual sports and their coaches are doing fundraising. And the second that Mr. Mason says, okay, we're going to do this in place of that, or at the same time, you don't want to hurt their ability to do fundraising too. I hear what you're saying, but it's a lot of things that I've seen schools tell the athletic director, you have your fundraisers over here, and tell the coaches they're not going to have something at that point in time because you're having this fundraiser going on. So it's a matter of where are you going to raise your money at. And the thing that I correlate it to is if the music program had to have a fundraiser for their drum line and they had to go raise their money, and then the woodwinds had to go have a fundraiser, and they were all out here doing everything separately. Then Renee had to have another big one on top of that. So
we actually do individualize for some big projects. Yeah.
Right, right. But what I'm saying is you don't have to live off of that. And I'm trying to figure out where that sweet spot is. Do you have your individual programs do fundraising, or do you have one big one for all, everybody puts it all in one pot for the athletic program? Or do you do both? And that's where you start to stretch your resources in your community. So there is a fine line between how much we can fundraise, because if we've got kids from every program out there trying to raise money, and then we're doing something on top of it.
I see what you're saying, but I don't necessarily agree with that. Because I support when these kids come around, but I also know that we have the ability to generate money other ways. That won't affect that. And I want to know what we're doing to try to get that done. Or if we're looking at that type of stuff.
And we are. That's what Matt just pointed out, what he's been doing over the last 4 months. And anytime we can get any type of event on this campus, we're doing it. Just like when they called about the wrestling, we could have easily said no. We said absolutely, because it makes money for the program. So,
well, and a lot of those sports, like I use a peewee wrestling tournament, for example, the group that puts that on, same thing would happen with if a volleyball team put on a volleyball tournament. They would expect to get the proceeds for that into their portion of the account. That doesn't go to overall athletic fund. I mean, if the wrestling team comes in and puts together a tournament and all those wrestlers are out there working that tournament, how can you take that money from them and give it to everybody else? That's where you kind of run. I mean, that's why some of these programs...
Like the Spikers, that's not run by the volleyball team.
That's a little different, but I agree with that.
I think what Mr. Dodds is kind of alluding to too is those programs want to give toward that program that they're a feeder program to. A lot of times, like the youth wrestling or the volleyball or the football, a lot of times we'll do that, and that's what happens with the boosters. The boosters, we realized, you know, they keep track by sport. You know, donations that come in just for that sport. So I think that's what's important to realize, too, that a lot of the fundraising doesn't flow through the district anymore. A lot of that fundraising flows directly through the boosters, and they track that by team also.
I mean, they're all fundraising, and then we also do a program for football, right? And they're soliciting ads, and they're asking, you can only tap all the vendors so much. Because they're asking a lot of the same people, too.
And I think what's funny, too, I've had the same card trying to be sold to me from Washington Courthouse football team, Miami Trace's football team, Madison Plains' football team, and I bought Madison Plains, by the way.
Yes, you did.
But they're it's not just here in the district. You know, we are surrounded by other districts, and a lot of times they're encroaching on our territory or vice versa.
Those schools are asking those vendors or those businesses to get
to. Yeah, everybody's trying to do everything they can to raise funds.
And I understand that.
Yeah.
But let's just keep focus on what I'm asking for, because it's separate, I'm telling you. Just so everybody in this room knows, I get in those ball games free, and I pay every time because I know we need the money. I pay every time. I go, I split my money. I split my money between the band boosters and the Scholastic boosters. I don't buy one, I don't buy from the other. And I try to get all my stuff at Madison Plains. But unfortunately, you got to go to Mabes to get some of that stuff. Your predecessor made a comment when he first came in that he was going to start a spirit store, that we could buy all the stuff we wanted through you guys.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Why aren't we working on that?
Well, I got no answer for you.
I'd rather give you the money, Matt, than to give it to Mabes.
The kicker is we are to a point. I mean, Jason brought in $3,200 through his 32-hour. Every sport has their own store. We did it through LIDS and Nike this year. I mean, it was a $3,200 fundraiser for football. Volleyball did the same thing. You know, we have them, but the individual sports are doing them. Now, do we have a certain store other than the Eagle Hut? No, we don't. You know, but we do, you know, Coach Miller sells shirts. I mean, everybody does it just to their individual sport, and that's one of their individual. Coach Stockham did it last year for softball. I mean, we all do it. It's just individualized for their sport.
And that's fine, but what you keep saying to me is falling on deaf ears with me, because everybody in this room still supports those kids, and we still buy those things. But there's also that other section there that we could be looking at tapping into that I would rather give you the money than go up and give it to people in London. You see what I'm saying?
No, I see what you're saying.
Those are the type of things I want to know if we're working on.
Like you said, I think, except from that list, plus the 40-some thousand, and the 25 before that, we're working on it. And we're bringing in money. We bring in more in donations than we do in gates. I mean, that's working on it. I mean, that's working on it at an extremely high rate. And that's the thing, you know, not even on there, it's the $60,000 in scholarships we brought in the last 2 years with Mr. Hansen and then through Just Right. You know, those numbers don't even count towards anything you're seeing there. We're bringing money in at a super high rate.
But we also have to look at ways of helping those people out, too. They can't just keep giving and giving and giving.
Well, I understand that. It's like she said, though, you know, we go to the same people for the program, we do for the booster outing, we do for anything. I don't care. We, you know, we aren't blessed with tons and tons of businesses. We are blessed with very good people. Yeah, who help us over and over and over again. And they've been tremendous. I can't.
If we could talk about this later on or maybe get some feedback on before the 13th and talk to them.
Sure.
I would like that. Yeah. And just a suggestion to all the booster people, if you want to make more money, you need to give fat people clothes. Because this fat guy here will buy them. I buy my shirts don't fit.
Okay. We're digressing.
So we'll make more money if you buy 3X and clothes.
Let the record show Dave said he's fat.
Oh, I don't know. Thank you, Matt. Mr. Unger, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Next up, a draft copy of the dress code policy for the board. A lot of people want to know how this policy came about, where did it come from. We started having discussions during negotiations, okay, this past summer. We didn't progress with those conversations during negotiations. We decided to have the board review a dress code policy. It was presented first at the Board Policy Review Committee for consideration. It's a draft. It's a first reading. At a first reading, the board, if you vote on it, you're saying, yes, we think there should be a dress code. You don't vote on it as a final at the first reading. That's at the next meeting. And if you decide not to vote on what's presented at the next meeting, then it won't be put in place, just like any other board policy. The reason why it wasn't pushed out en masse to the staff for consideration at this point is if the Board of Education doesn't even want to have one, you would vote no on this tonight, and it's done. If you want one, but you want discussion, you vote on this first reading. I put it out to the staff tomorrow. They give me feedback between now and the next regular meeting, which is on the 20th, and then we modify it. Board Policy Review Committee looks at it, and then we bring it back to the board for consideration at the 20th. So that's why this process has played out the way it has. Okay? So you have tonight the draft of the staff dress code. Why do we need a dress code? I have, ever since I've been here, folks not sure what they can and can't wear, what's appropriate, what's inappropriate. We've simply played it by ear for years around here. You were always guessing, is the principal going to say something to me? Am I okay? Can I wear shorts? Can I not wear shorts? This makes it clear as to what is considered unprofessional dress. There's a list that has it on there, which can be debated at length. I'm open to listen to conversation. Spirit Day is not going away. Spirit Day may actually occur more often. Spirit Day is when you're trying to get the staff and the students pumped up for whatever event is going on, whether it's the band going to the state competition, the football team going to playoffs, whatever it is, that might not always happen on a Friday. That might be a Tuesday, just like the golf team was last year, and we had a Spirit Day. This gives discretion for the principals to call a Spirit Day in their building. Okay? They can define what that looks like. They have to make sure I'm okay with it. And why do I have to be okay with it? Because I'm the mediator between both ends of campus. I don't want the high school saying you can do this and the other end of campus saying you can't do that. So that's why it's written that way. So with that, if you have questions tonight, great. If not, give them to me between now and the 20th, and we'll make changes at the Board Policy Review Committee meeting and bring it back to you.
My issue on this is I'd like to see it going back over. It's not, I think there's too many unclear areas. We need to let these people understand what's okay and what's not. And the one thing on the tennis shoes, I have a situation there where my work shoes at work are tennis shoes with steel toes in them. Some people can't wear. So we need to reconsider that at times, I think.
Right. And
as long as they're nice-looking tennis shoes, what's wrong with that?
Right. We're already, even currently, we make exceptions for based on the job or the activity that you're working on for that day.
Well, I'm not talking about on that day. I'm talking about people's health. If they're better off wearing a tennis shoe,
that's different.
I'd rather see a man wear a tennis shoe.
If there's a health issue, we also consider that as well. Again,
but I would like this to be reviewed. I wasn't real happy with the way it was. I was rather disappointed the way it was written up. So,
can you email me exactly what you're looking for?
All right.
That would help.
Dave brings up tennis shoes. I'll bring up denim jeans. We live in a rural community. Denim jeans. I suppose they're nice denim jeans. If they're full of holes, that's something. But what's wrong with denim jeans in our community? I would think that would be perfectly acceptable.
I disagree.
The kids have a dress code, right?
Yeah.
You have to have a guidance of what people are allowed and not allowed to do. Certain places you can. You have to wear jeans, right?
Well, let's go ahead and bring that up, like Kim said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we'll give him more, because one of the other things that I actually did call Tim on and asked him was about the tattoos and extreme hair colors. Please take into consideration, we have that, I can't even remember what the name of the class is. It's the class for the kids that live an alternative lifestyle. That's what you want to call it.
Okay. Not the class, the club?
It's a club, yes. Yeah. I've seen some of them wearing some extreme hairs and some tattoos that I didn't think were appropriate, but, you know,
we're
supposed to have an open mind on this, correct?
But if it disrupts the educational environment,
so that's going to have to go both ways, right? So we're going to think about this. That also has to go into some other policies, and students are going to have to toe the line on that as well.
Tattoos aren't necessarily an issue as long as they're covered up. You can have any tattoo you want.
But what I'm saying is there's some people that don't have covered up tattoos. Is it really that big of a problem, or as long as it's not obscene? See what I'm saying? What you might find offensive, most of us in the room might not. What I find offensive is all tattoos anymore, because, I mean, they all got them. Everybody's got them. But that's okay. That's what they want to wear.
Well, so here's the deal. I think every place of employment has a dress code, whatever it is, right? The policy committee getting feedback in the next time before we discuss this should be able to fine tune exactly what, I mean, you know, I'm not allowed to wear, I'm pretty sure, a tank top to work, right?
And Kelly, in your place of employment, you give out handbooks?
Yes.
And that handbook, I can guarantee you, does not look like this. It's very descriptive, and it says, this is what you'll do to toe the line if you want to work here. So the people don't have second guess all the time what they can and can't do.
Right.
That's the problem. Now we're going to go correct everybody because, well, they're second guessing because this thing's, let's just make it nice for them, make it so that people agree with it, and that it's very understood. So we don't have all this question marks in here like I think there is.
You're making my point as to why we need it.
Right.
I agree.
Because you got to start somewhere.
And this is just your draft, so.
And really, this isn't, I mean, with a few exceptions in there, it's not a bad,
right?
But we need to clear it up a little bit more.
It's a good start,
yeah,
for a draft that gets out there and what we're looking to try to do, and it is for the staff. You know, the students can have their hair, you know, paisley. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, that'd be pretty cool. It'd take a long time to do, I'm sure, but it'd be pretty cool.
I don't know if I'd want to see
one of my teachers, you know, paisley hair.
Well, you have a dress code for the students, but you don't have one for staff. You got to have a framework of some kind. So, okay.
All right. Last but not least, the facility update. Parking spots. We are starting this week to number the spots. And again, that's so we don't have the mad rush to get here early enough to get a parking spot closer to my room. Everybody will have a parking spot defined for them. The principals are going to logistically try to get them as close to their room, to the door that gets them to the room the quickest. So that's all being considered, that you'll see them getting numbered this week. You'll also see the yellow curbing getting fastened down. So if you've been concerned about seeing it spun around and people hitting it, we'll get that. It's getting nailed down this week. We wanted to make sure they were in the right spots, to be quite honest. We think they are. The ones in the fire lanes are not going to be fastened down. Those are simply for our big events. It did work out here during the football game. I didn't see too many people running over him while the sheriff was here, but who knows after he left what happened, but we still have all of our parking curbs. The HVAC is going very well. They got the units put up on the roof. Which day was it, Kim?
That was yesterday, right before the volleyball game.
Right. They had let me know that they were going to have a crane here to set those up on the hallway over an intermediate building, and that was fine after school. Everybody would be gone. The problem is, they said, once they got here, they said, oh, you have to clear out that end of the building because the crane could fall over. Okay. I didn't feel real confident after they told us that, but we did clear things out. Everything was put up safely, but that, again, that's their liability to make sure everything's cleared out. I think the game went on and we didn't have any problems. Today was the day was they're drop dead, but they're off by about 2 days, so I'll give them that. They're the closest to getting a project done of any of our contractors so far, so yay. 2 days late is good. The bus garage, the concrete work, one half of that concrete work is done, and if you haven't seen it, the entire concrete pad from the garage out to the fencing is being replaced. It has displaced our bus drivers and our mechanics. They're doing their best to do their work, and I know they're walking in and out carrying tools back and forth, and it's a real pain. But I think everybody knows at the end of the day it's going to be a much better environment for them to be working in. So that project is about 6 weeks behind, and that was the gentleman that's doing the work is working furiously to get it done now, so we'll leave it at that. The raise the flag, we're right around
$9,935.
Right. Nice. So we're very close. We've had a lot of good people donate to that. Here recently, it's really coming in quick. And Mr. Penny, I asked him to head up that project, and he's been getting everything lined up. All the equipment's been ordered. Now he's getting these contractors lined up to donate their labor, at least. Our concrete guy has agreed to do that. He's talked with Mr. Sims about putting the pole up. We've got several contractors that have volunteered to do those type of things, so we feel very confident about coming in on budget on that program. We're looking probably at the end of this month or the first week of October. My only thing is I want to have a 3-week deadline so I know exactly when that's going to be done, so then we can schedule a grand opening or a reveal or whatever, a dedication to it. So we'll invite a lot of people. The furniture, any of the office furniture that we ordered has been put in place. The classroom furniture, we have two rooms that will be delivered and be installed in the next couple of weeks. The other two classrooms are delayed, and the reason being is the tabletops are, I'm not going to say it right, the tabletops, whatever they're made of, the company that provides, what is it?
Petroleum based?
I don't know.
But, what
yeah, the tops on those on the desks. They are, the contractor that they've worked with said they're no longer going to provide it, so they had to go with a different contractor. So all the schools that had ordered the same collar desktops that we've ordered, they divvied up as much as they could amongst all the schools. So of our four classrooms, we're getting two right away. The other two are going to be significantly later. We're talking like 6 weeks. So that's a problem. The good news is as we move into working on the library, I think that will be in good shape because they've got their new the supplier under contract again, a new one. So just letting you know there's going to be a slight delay for a couple of the rooms. Other than that, the facility projects are starting to wind down.
Can I ask you one quick question? On the parking spots, are you making sure we have enough handicap?
We are actually adding spots down at the event parking lot now. We did have some concerns expressed that they needed some spots down there. And so we're going to, for the next home game, we're going to cone those off if our striper hasn't been back yet.
Where are they at up here right now?
You have several. You have two down by the baseball field. You have two near the where the parent drop-off is. You have two over in front of the Centric Academy. You have two right outside the intermediate gym. And then out by the Linson Drive, there's always spots available out there. We just have to get those painted down. So you're supposed to have 2% of your parking spots, and we're going to have a lot more than that.
But they're easily accessible for people who need a toilet, right?
It depends on where you're going. If you're going in the stadium, we've got the two over there. If you're going in the intermediate gym, there's two right beside of it. If you're going to the baseball, there's two beside it.
What so about going to the office?
We don't have any there yet. We're going to have visitor parking there. So, but again, those in front of the intermediate or the the parent drop-off are just catty-corner from the office. So we'll look at that and see if we think we need them or not. But we've got a lot of handicap spots right now. Down
no,
here.
I don't mean your office.
Which office are you talking about?
What's over here?
The intermediate and elementary? Yeah, that's going to be inside of the parking spots nearest Lenson. So that's as close as we can get them. That is facility, and I think that concludes my report.
Thank you. If no unfinished business, we'll move to new business.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve the first reading of board policy GCBB, the staff dress code as presented.
I will second.
Discussion?
Yeah, the only thing on this is if we decide, if it's not written up the way we want it, we can always turn it down, correct?
Correct.
Still got time to do that.
What I would do is if we present it next time and you're not happy with it, and we know that, we'll table it, we'll continue to work on it, and bring it back the next time.
Okay, call roll please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds? Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board revise motion 15-157 as follows. Employ the following student workers beginning July 27th, 2015 through August 21st, 2015 as needed. Workers to be paid a student rate of $9 an hour.
Second. Discussion?
This was a correction for the start date only. We had a later start date, and it was actually July 27th, so that's why it's represented.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board create a floating bus driver aid position to be used throughout the district.
Second. Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board accept the resignation of Wade Beachy as junior high golf coach effective August 18th, 2017.
I'll second that.
Discussion?
Mr. Beachy accepted a full-time job in Columbus, so he had to resign.
Call roll, please.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board terminate the employment of, Megan Heslop.
She wasn't here long enough for me to get her name down.
So. Effective August 13, 2015.
Second. Discussion?
She actually accepted the position. You hired her, then she declined it as soon as you hired her. That's why you're doing this.
Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board terminate the employment of Chris Laszlo, 7th grade football coach, effective August 1st, 2015.
I'll second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of superintendent, the board employ Carol Vergie as a substitute bus driver effective August 28, 2015.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board employ the following on a one-year contract to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2015-2016 school year. It's Melinda Moore as a van bus driver, Steve Cheney as a bus driver, Kathy Hill as a van driver, and Mary Wilson as an aide.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the settlement agreement, release, and waiver between the Madison Plains Local School District Board of Education and Laurel Cottle as presented.
Second. Discussion?
Again, this settlement is over at IEP. These can get very expensive if you end up going actually to a hearing. Our attorney and Mrs. Cottle's attorney were able to settle this, and we think it's going to be, the end result is to the benefit of the child. Without going into much detail about the child and the issues, this agreement did save us a lot of money. So we felt it was very much needed, and our attorney did do a good job on it. I will say that about y'all.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Buds?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board award the following athletic, the following academic supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2015-2016 school year. I'm not going to read them, but there's a whole bunch.
As listed?
Yeah.
I'll second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Buds?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award the following athletic supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2015-2016 school year. There's about nine of them.
As listed?
As listed.
I'll second.
Discussion?
And again, some of these are due to changes and just getting information in and things like that. We try to have everything on in front of you prior to the start of the season, but our guarantee was that they would be with coaches that have everything completed or they wouldn't be with them. So.
Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
There's no motion on the next one.
Well, how about we use...
Let me go ahead and make one up.
Back. You can use it for voting purposes, like in the back, under new agenda. Item number 12, center 12, doesn't have a motion in the end.
Let's see.
You are recommending this, right, Tim?
I, as superintendent, am recommending that we increase the hours for high school aides Amanda Cordell, Nikki Rice, and Heidi Wilson.
Second. Discussion?
This is a 15-minute increase, by the way. Okay.
Hang on a second. You can't make that motion.
I'm not making the motion.
Yes,
I seconded it.
Right, you have to make the motion. I'm just clarifying what it is.
Madam President, I make the motion by the...
what he said.
On the recommendation of the superintendent that we increase the hours for the high school aides below.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board approve the deposit of land rent proceeds to the athletic fund, $300 for the 2015-2016 school year. The allocation of land rent proceeds will be made in June of each year for the following fiscal year.
I'll second that.
I, for discussion, would like to amend that.
Okay.
So that it says, allocation of land rent proceeds will be made in June for each year for the following fiscal year for the departments in need.
For the designated departments?
And for designated departments that in need.
I see what you're saying.
The way this reads right now, looks like we're going to give it to them every year. We're not doing that. We just had a long discussion about that, correct?
Oh, I see what you're saying. That's fine.
So the way this reads, athletics will get it, but if the band needs it next year, we'll give it to the band.
It's the definition of allocation. Allocation means the board will make a decision where it's going to go each year. So the decision of the allocation of land rent proceeds will be made in June of each year.
And the way that's written,
very clearly be made that it's going to athletics. It's not one amended.
Right. So you would like to see.
I understand what you're saying, Tim, but it's all because also could be twisted the other way and say you said you were going to give that to them.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Right.
How would you like it to read? Because we
just have to find the right wording to get it in there.
Right. I understand where you're at.
Yeah.
So we can change that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
What do you want the wording to say?
That it would be allocated to whatever department needs it for that fiscal year. That'll be reviewed and.
Application.
Or how about for any fund that's in need, or any department that's in need of
that's
the allocation of land rent proceeds will be determined in June of each year for the following fiscal year. This is what you're doing. You're making a determination where you're going to allocate it.
Right.
So we scratch out
May
and put in to be determined.
That's fine. To be determined.
Will be determined.
Right. That tells you that it's not predetermined.
And it's not going to one just certain place.
Exactly.
It's going to be given out.
We had a motion in a second, so.
So the motion to
they still
accept
stand.
It.
This would be a
question. Do your first and second still stand?
Mm-hmm. So I make the motion and we vote on the amended.
I've got to vote down the other then.
He's got a first and a second.
Right.
You can ask, do the first and second still stand with the change to the wording? So the question goes to who was your first and second?
My first was Mr. Morlock.
Yep.
And Mr. Dotz was the second.
Yes, that's fine.
And those first and second stands, so we can go to the vote. As revised.
As revised.
Mr. Morlock.
Yes.
Mr. Dotz.
Yes.
Mr. Butts.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley.
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board approve the following donations. Ton of them for Raise the Flag. Thank you, everybody.
I'll second that.
Thank you very much for all the donations. Discussion?
Again, we are very close. In fact, we feel that if what we've received so far, we can cover the basic costs for it. The people walking in and just handing money now is just really impressive. I agree. We have a lot of great people in this community.
We've had some that aren't listed here either that haven't made it to the acceptance yet. So they're still coming in.
That's awesome. Thank you to everyone that donated.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Dotz?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
New agenda items. There are none. We will not be holding executive session this evening. So we will adjourn this meeting. I make a motion. Will we adjourn this meeting 8:34 p.m.?
I'll second that.
Discussion. Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dotz?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
There is 5-0.
Meeting is adjourned, and our next meeting will be October 20th. Oh, regular meeting, October 20th.